Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to yet another episode of the Philly Mick and Hump Show. I am your host, the Philly Mick.
And I'm the Philly Hump, actually playing the host duties today.
Yeah, technically.
I have to sign it up, but I figured I'd let you do the intro.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well,
yeah.
Another week down, another week of horrible weather. Last night's nice little snowstorm we just got. But hopefully we got to think warm as spring is upon us very soon. And, of course, spring means football season.
Naturally.
So, right now, obviously the Combine has gotten started this week, so we're going to be talking a lot about the Combine. With free agency starting in about 2 weeks, a little less than 2 weeks. And, of course, obviously franchise tags can happen at any point now. Obviously, we'll talk a little bit about the Sixers, their trade deadline stuff. All that. Whether
deciding to get rid of some guys. Yeah, definitely.
We'll be talking about that, and hopefully they know what they're doing, and I guess we'll talk a little bit about the Flyers as their trade deadline is coming soon, and Philly's pitchers and catchers reported, so there's that. First and foremost, if you guys like to get into the show, please give us a call at 347-989-0699. You can also check us out on Facebook, Twitter, @_Philly_Mick, @Philly_Hump. We're all over the place. We're on iTunes. We're everywhere. So you can check us out, listen to us live, call into the show, download us on iTunes or on Blog Talk. Put it on your iPhone, do whatever you want. But try to call in, because we do love our callers. So I was going to say, Hump, I know you've been trying to watch as much Combine as possible.
Yes, I have. In fact, I've watched every second of it so far.
Well, what did you think of, I guess the main question is the quarterbacks. What did you think about the quarterbacks so far in the Combine?
Honestly, they were as expected. Both did well in their drills. I thought both looked good in the drill, especially the drills where they had to drop back from under center. They both looked very efficient. Their legwork looked fine, dropping back. Both guys looked sharp. Mariota obviously ran a better 40. In fact, ran the best 40 of any quarterback, including Nick Marshall, the quarterback from Auburn, who I actually expected to run the best 40 times since he's going to be trying out for a defensive back position. But Mariota ran a 4.52, I think, 40 his first run, and a 4.55 in his second, which, I mean, again, showed us what we already knew. He's fast. And then, to me, the bigger part was just to see how he was going to handle the different passing drills, because I know he can run. I know he could handle the option portion of an offense. It's whether or not he could make all the NFL throws. And for me, he, as Mayock would say, checked all the boxes. I thought he had a very good combine.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, it's funny. I think Winston came in to the combine with even more question marks, given, of course, there was that recent pitcher of Winston, where it kind of looked like he had a little bit of a beer gut, which is very funny.
Did not appear to have a beer gut.
No, he looked fine. Clearly it was a bad angle. But but
that's
also,
what I blame all my
fact,
pictures on, too. But
yeah, me too. and obviously the fact that, with his off-the-field issues and all that, well, basically, he nailed it. He came
in. I thought he had a very good day.
And all every scouts were saying he was one of the smartest, not only quarterbacks but NFL players that they had the chance to speak to. Not since, you know, the likes of Peyton Manning have they seen somebody as smart when it comes to football, which
right.
certainly is extremely high praise. So kind of as of right now, it really seems that he's cemented himself as the number one pick for Tampa Bay, which obviously helps us as Eagles fans.
Sure.
Mariota did a very good job as well. He ran in the 4.4s, which is great. Low 4.5s, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a lot of questions with Mariota as far as his ability to, you know, not just get shotguns to you know, do a huddle and kind of do drop back and, you know, under center and all that, and it looks like he nailed it.
Right.
So that's all you can ask for. So, you know, some of the other quarterbacks like Petty and
I thought my Petty had a very good name, Brent Hudley. Yeah.
Yes, they also had very good days, which is good just in case, you know, if we decide to go that route in the, you know, the later rounds, say, you know, whatever that'll be, third, fourth rounds, maybe
mm-hmm.
second, I don't know, you know. Who knows how things will shake out, but
yeah,
it's good to know that they also had very good days as well, so.
I thought Bryce Petty did a really good job. A lot of people questioned his arm strength coming into the combine. Did a very good job making the deep throws that they had him throwing. And it was right on line. The footwork was superb for actually all four of those guys that we talked about. The four guys that are really if they're going to be starters that come out of this draft, those are the four guys that could be starters at the next level. I think it's, you know, once you get beyond, say, Petty or Hudley, whichever one you have, three or four, there's a huge drop-off at the quarterback position.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So
I think Garrett Grayson, the Colorado State quarterback, is the next highest rated quarterback after those four, which that ought to tell you something.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, it was a very interesting day. I was going to say this week, you know, in Eagles news, the Eagles did something I expected them to do, and I'm glad that they officially did it. They released James Casey.
Yeah, exactly what we expected.
And not that James Casey wasn't a good player. I just think he really didn't have unfortunately a role here. And at $4 million, for somebody who plays, 25% of the, not even 25% of the snaps, it's just not worth it. So we saved ourselves $4 million right there. So we're on the right track, and there's also a very big rumor that the Eagles are the front runners for, I almost said Vernon Maxwell. That was the old Houston Rockets shooting guard back in the day. Maxwell.
Well, maybe the Sixers are in the running for him if he wants to come back.
Yeah, we can get Mad Max. Byron Maxwell. But it looks like his price tag is going to be somewhere in the range of about $10 million per year, which is a lot of money.
Yeah. I'd just like to say this before we get into Maxwell. I am having some technical difficulties with the computer, so if you're trying to call in, I should be able to get into you shortly and bring you onto the show. I don't know why the computer just decided to... to act up on me, but we appear to be staying on the air, which is good.
That sounds good.
Anybody calling
you,
please bear with me.
Last time I let you
host. My computer's deciding to crap the bed.
Last time I let you host.
Seriously, the one freaking time I get to host and the computer decides, hey, I'm going to be a little jerk off.
Good times. Gotta love technology and...
Yeah,
sure,
technology
certainly loves
me. But anyway, going into Maxwell again for a minute, which I know a couple weeks ago on the show, you and I both discussed who we wanted in free agency. He was the first name I mentioned.
I think he's
the front runner. The Eagles, I know, can't afford it. And it's got to be the top priority. And especially if you're looking at a situation where you're talking about trying to trade up, to acquire, you know, to get Marcus Mariota,
you're going to need
then
to
you have,
get
yeah,
those
you have
free
to address your needs in free agency.
Those holes. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you know, the thing of it, the way I think of it now, you know, $10 million may be a lot of money, and it certainly is.
True.
You know, but Perry Williams is making eight and change, almost eight and a half.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't you like to just cut Perry Williams, save that $8 million, pay a little bit more, and get Vernon Maxwell, somebody who's a little bit more reliable?
It's
a lot more reliable,
I'd say. About $2 million, yeah.
I'm good with that. So let's do that and then sign somebody better than even Perry Williams to be the number two. You know, maybe like somebody like Brandon Flowers, a veteran in the league, who's very good. You know, or maybe, who knows, maybe even draft one of these young kids, kid out of Michigan State, or Peters, who I'm really starting to like. I think he's Washington or Washington? No, Washington.
Yeah, Ken Washington. Yeah, he went.
Yeah, that's where he went. I couldn't remember who Washington State. But, he's quickly becoming my number one corner.
He's right there with Trey Wayne. And again, just a little note, we are back up and running. I do have the switchboard back up. So
we didn't go out there.
I noticed nobody did.
they're just shy. It's okay to be shy. Call in and just talk to sports. Just talk birds. That's what we do best.
But, yeah, I liked what you had to say there. You know, certainly, again, it's a difference of $2 million, and you have a much better corner. And then you can even upgrade then at your number two corner.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we end up not going for Mariota, and, you know, say, you know, ideally, it looks like there's not going to be, you know, it looks like McCourty is going to most likely be franchise tag.
Yeah, franchise.
So there goes your top safety. Next best, in my opinion, is probably Raheem Moore from Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of offensive issues to work out before they, I think, even address.
In fact, they're
talking
about franchising Demaryius Thomas. I don't think he's even on their radar to make sure they re-sign him.
Well, I'm sure that he's on the radar, but I assume that they have their top two priorities is Demaryius and Julius.
And Julius,
And from what I understand is they're Denver is not even close with the guaranteed money for Julius, according to his agent. So they're probably going to be focusing a lot on that, and yeah, I'm sure they'll try to get more, but... you know, I'm sure he's going to hit the free agent waters and test the market. So I would like him as a nice backup plan. That way, you know, we don't have to hope and pray that we land Landon Collins.
Right.
Because most likely he might not be there.
Yeah, again, you're looking to trade up for him, yeah.
Yeah, so if you go, and again, I think if we're all trading up, I think, you know, we all are in favor I would assume that we'd all rather have Mariota than trading up for Collins if we're going to do anything that way. But, you know, so I'd say let's sign Raheem Moore. The safety positions are set. You sign Vernon Maxwell. And if you decide not to trade up for Mariota, you go after one of the two corners. There's another corner, I can't remember his name, that's associated with the first round. Grab one of those three guys, and there you go.
Give me a second. I know it'll come up here on the screen here. I'm watching the NFL Network. They're running down their top five guys at every position. So, in just a moment, the corners will come up, and I'll give you that third name that I know you're referring to.
Yeah. I think that might be the route to go.
It's Jalen Collins, by the way, from LSU.
Collins, thank you, yes.
So
I think that might be the route to go. That way you hit everything that you want to hit. That way you're not, that way you're not kind of screwing yourself there and potentially missing out on one of those defensive backs that you really need. I mean,
right.
Plain and simple, you need to go into this season with a new safety and hopefully two new corners. At least one new
at least one, yeah.
That is much better than Kerry Williams. Kerry Williams cannot be your number one. He cannot
absolutely
be your number
not.
One. Number two, I'm okay with. I honestly am okay with. I think he'll do a lot better as a secondary, facing off as secondary receivers rather than having to go up against the big guys. So, that being said, I'd still rather probably have someone else, especially, for that money.
Sure.
Like I said, if we're going free agent for a second corner, there's plenty of names out there of people who I would much rather have than Kerry Williams. Like I said, Brandon Flowers is certainly one.
Right.
He's always been somebody I've liked since, his Chiefs / San Diego Chargers. Well, obviously he was just on the Chargers, but even when he was back with the
right.
Chiefs, so.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah, Flowers is a very nice corner. I would certainly love him here in Philly as well. If we get a combination of Maxwell and Flowers in here, and obviously Kerry Williams hit the road, then you can go and draft safety in the first round if you're not moving up to get Mariota.
Absolutely. So I think that needs to be our main concern, and kind of figure it out from there.
Mm-hmm. I agree. The top priority has to be how you're figuring out the secondary, and whether it's you're trading up for Mariota or not, you still are going to have that secondary picks. Because if you go up and get Mariota, that's terrific, but if your secondary is still, Kerry Williams and just a Bradley Fletcher replacement, that's just not going to work.
Well, no, that's with Mariota, unfortunately, he may not be that big of an upgrade year one.
Right.
He's not that he's a project necessarily for the Eagles, but I feel like, it's going to take him a little time before he really gets up and running, but I feel like he has the ability to be a franchise quarterback for years to come. So,
I agree with that. Those who are expecting him to come in and do what Andrew Luck did year one in Indianapolis, I think are being unrealistic. Andrew Luck is the kind of guy who comes along with, once in a generation. You have Peyton Manning, and now you have Andrew Luck. There's
–
and Marcus Mariota, while he may not be an Andrew Luck, I really think he's – that doesn't mean he's not going to eventually be a top-tier quarterback.
Yeah.
And I think in the right system, in particular, in our system, he would be a top-tier quarterback.
Absolutely. So, that's the thing. I think, and who knows, I'll be pleasantly and happily surprised. Should he, blow it up his first year, that's great. But that being said, if you don't address the secondary and do the Mariota thing, you haven't progressed your franchise nearly enough from one year to another. And the fact of the matter is, we also have some holes. We got to figure out guard. Do we know that we're keeping Harriman? Maybe another year Harriman.
Right.
Peters is getting up there in age.
In the next year or two, you could have some serious issues with that offensive line. And if there's one thing. And I wanted to get into this a little bit in the way some of the teams at the top of draft this year and some of the linemen that you see as available. And trust me, it's from watching the combine from Friday, there was some good offensive linemen there that could be taken very high in the draft. The guard Sheriff from Iowa, who easily be taken in the top five.
Oh,
teams are going to, and as much as I hate to give this much credit to the Dallas Cowboys, teams are going to try to maybe take the model from them of building up that offensive line and letting everything else work from there.
Yeah, no, they certainly, you know, they brought in Tyron Smith and they got the center, who, you know, obviously did really well. You know, that's the thing. From what I understand, I think there's a couple of good guys that are going to fall into the second and third rounds on the offensive line.
Oh, yeah.
You know, again, if we're taking Mariota out of the situation, let's just take it off the board right now. And,
right.
You know, say first round, we go with a corner. And
right.
We already signed Maxwell and we signed, say, Raheem Moore. And our secondary is good. I would love for us with our second pick, trade back up into first and grab Kendrick's brother, Michael.
Yeah, Eric Kendrick. Yeah.
Or
Eric Kendrick.
Sorry, Michael's the one we have.
Yeah.
But yes, not only, you know, is it a need, you know, I really like the kid. I really think he's going to be even better than his brother. And obviously, having the two of them on the team would be fantastic.
Sure.
And again, it's a position in need. I think we really need to focus on our defense. And then third round, you know, hey, if you want to go, you know, guard or tackle there, or even, you know, there are a bunch of good wide receivers. I'd be okay with going with a wide receiver in the third. Hell, I'd probably be all right with it in the second round. But, you know, there are a bunch of good wide receivers that I think could really complement, you know, Matthews and hopefully Macklin to give them
a 1-2-3 punch.
That needs to happen before the start of free agency. You can't have Macklin hit free agency. Not saying that
hopefully
he
we
go
can
elsewhere.
Have, you know, breaking news on our show next week as we talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, completely honest, if Macklin goes elsewhere, that's going to cost us more money if we're going to end up resigning. And we need, you know, not that we don't have a good amount of money, but we're going to need as much as we can, you know, as much as we can.
We
have a lot of
holes to fill with that money. Yeah.
Right. So, but that being said, you know, I think it's going to be even tougher. It's going to be more tough, you know, if we end up doing the Mariota trade, however it shakes out, we're going to be giving up picks, and we're going to need to fill up some of those holes. So hopefully, you know, I don't know. In my opinion, if you see us sign a lot of free agents, and again, you know, I'm not talking necessarily dream team type.
Right, no, I know what you mean, but guys to fill out the roster, which means guys who you'd normally be filling out the roster with your third, fourth, fifth round picks.
Right.
That could mean that you're already preparing to make. Yeah,
absolutely. I think that would indicate a potential to try and move up. That way, not saying it's going to happen because you obviously need a willing trade partner, but I think it would be more or less a safety net. Should they end up doing that, that way they can grab the people they want instead of saying, oh, well, now we did this trade and we still need to fill up holes, so let's sign Joe Schmo, who no other team wanted for, you know, 2 months. So.
Right, and instead what you could have, even if you end up not making the Mariota deal and you make those picks, then you have a lot more competition when you come to camp. And
sure.
In my mind, competition always brings out the best in people. You know, that's when you find out who are your winners, who are the guys that are going to be there, that are going to be fighting in the fourth quarter. And those are the guys you need. And those are the guys that you need on special teams to make a big play. We're going to lay out to keep a punted ball from going into the end zone. A guy who's going to make the key block to spring a returner. I mean, you need to know who those guys are and the competition that you get if you sign free agents and then draft players, you know, in your draft and then say, hey, only one of you is sticking around, you're going to find out who the best guy is.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. We have a very good special teams as it stands right now. You know, bringing in Sproles, bringing in Margos, bringing in what's that other special teamer?
Carroll.
Yes. You know, those are part of the reasons why our special teams got exponentially better.
Additions like Josh Huff, Chris Polk.
Yeah.
You know, all three of those guys return kicks for touchdowns.
Yeah.
You're not expecting, even like a Trey Burton who, I think he had two punt blocks this year.
Yeah.
If you have one punt block from your whole special teams unit in a season, you've done something special. He had two all by himself.
Yeah.
He wasn't the only guy who blocked punts this year for the Eagles.
Yeah, he's going to be relied on to be a major piece in the special teamers this year, especially with Casey being out. But now he's also going to be able to get into the offense and be relied upon to fill Casey's role, essentially, of, occasional play here and there. Yeah, being the third tight end, exactly. So,
being there in goal line situations. You may be asked to be in the backfield as like a fullback.
Yeah,
that's
the thing. I think right now the fullback is dying. And becoming a hybrid, tight end with fullback duties. So, hopefully he can go right into that role. Things are going to start progressing. I think next week, what's today? 22nd? So,
today's 22nd.
29th will be our next episode.
Well,
that'll be
March.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. February.
yeah.
Is that leaving?
Not
November 31st.
No.
but we'll be just 2 days away from the start of free agency. We'll know, for the most part, all of our franchise tags, so we'll know who's going to be available for free agency. So that'll be a nice episode next week as we'll kind of break down, our top wants in specific positions, knowing who's going to be available. And then obviously that first week is usually a frenzied week. And then usually weeks 2 and 3 kind of slow down a little bit. That's where you find your middle-of-the-road guys, your fillers. But
just to give you a heads up, we have about 2 minutes left in the show, so if people want to call in,
call in. We'll bring you on into the podcast. That way you get an extra little time with us. Go right ahead. Feel free. I was going to say, Hump, you have the call-in number? Because I don't know. I'll tell that.
347-989-0699. So call in. We'll bring you right on the air. You can hang out with us in the podcast. And we're now 90 seconds left. Thanks to the young British lady for informing me.
Lovely blog talk lady. We didn't really get into our other points, so we'll hit those up in the podcast. Obviously, we want to thank everybody who listens to our show, supports our show over these long years of doing the podcast. We're looking forward to lots of fun in the upcoming weeks for free agency and franchise tags, and then eventually a couple months down the road for the draft. So, stay tuned, as I'm sure we'll have a nice draft special there. We'll talk about some Sixers, Flyers, and Phillies in the podcast. Wanted to let everybody know, check us out on Facebook, the Philly Nick and Hump Show on Facebook. Like our fan page.
30 seconds.
Also, Twitter, @_Philly_Nick. @_Philly_Hump. Check us out. Tweet at us. Tweet us while we're doing the show. We'll shout you out. Also, you can download our show on iTunes. All of our episodes, from the first one to the last one, are going to be there.
All right, 5 seconds.
I want to thank everybody else. So for the Philly Nick,
I'm the Philly Hump.
Thanks for listening, Philadelphia.
And we are now unlive, ladies and gentlemen.
Unlive, all right. There we go. Wow. So we probably should talk a little Sixers, as that seems
to
be the
trade KJ, was it KJ McDaniels?
KJ McDaniels and NCW.
Yep.
So that has been, you know, Eagles will be forever the constant talk on, you know, on the major sports talk radios. You know, you're 94.1, 97.5. But right now, the last 2 days, it's been all about the Sixers and people just jumping off the bridge. I think a lot of
over,
people bought
in. Rookie of the year and,
I mean,
let's
people,
be honest with ourselves, very mediocre point guard in NCW.
Yeah.
I mean, probably,
I mean,
okay, slightly above average. I'll say better than mediocre, above average. But
sure, and he definitely
exactly
needed time
like
to develop.
Superstar. Yeah.
Oh, you're right. And he needed more time to develop, and I think that may be some of the reason why people are having such an issue. But you look at it, and it's, you know, a lot of people have bought in on this whole, you know, hey, we're going to suck for a couple of years. We're doing things a little different. We're going to stockpile picks. We're going to hope some of them pan out. And we're going to build ourselves a group of young, talented players, and we're gonna, you know, we're gonna progress over the years, and then hopefully sign some free agents, maybe even a superstar to kind of bring it all together, and really compete in the East. But obviously, that's gonna take a couple of years. You know, obviously with Embiid not playing till next year, Sarrett's not playing till 2 years from now. The fact of the matter is, you're gonna have a top three pick most likely. You may have the Lakers pick, you know, six and higher if they end up playing a little better.
Yeah, so everybody start rooting for the Lakers to win.
Seriously, start rooting for the Lakers to win a few.
Yeah,
let's not go crazy.
Yeah.
Let's not go on a 20-game winning streak.
Nothing like that. We don't need anything that extreme.
Right. And also, we want the Heat to make the playoffs.
Yes.
So we can get the Heat's pick. And also, Oklahoma City make the playoffs because they're a top 18 protected. So hopefully they get into the playoffs and win
OKC.
Around. Yeah, OKC, Heat, and Lakers. Those are what we're all fans of right now. And whoever's playing the Sixers. But,
well, we want the Sixers to lose, but everybody else, you know, those other teams win. So Lakers don't go crazy, but win some. So we can have, like, picks 1,
like,
6, like, say, 19.
Like,
and, you know.
I say get to be the 7th worst. That way, if some crazy stuff happens during the lottery, you know, it might not affect that much, and we might drop you down to, like, 6. Now, granted, if they are 6 or 7 and they end up getting the 5th pick, the shit's rigged.
It absolutely is. And, look, is there anybody out there who realistically doesn't expect for picks 1 and 2 this year to be the Knicks and Lakers?
I wouldn't. I mean, if it happens, I mean,
the
Sixers need to
I
get
really think
into
the
top three.
The Knicks, Lakers, Sixers. With Knicks, Lakers in either order, and then the Sixers being the third. I really think, like, you can't convince me that it's not rigged. Cleveland gets the number one pick 3 out of 4 years. I mean, give me a break. You know.
That is ridiculous.
All in their effort to try and make up over the LeBron James thing. And now LeBron's back.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, you give those picks back, jerk. Basically,
I mean,
gave away the one of them. But
look, the whole thing about the tank version 1 was to try and be winless for Wiggins. And
we didn't even get Wiggins.
Yeah. And that's the reason why they implied on the fly the tank 2, which was, obviously you draft Embiid knowing that he wouldn't play for a whole year. And then, you know, to suck again and get right back at the top of the draft, and this time they want to take Okafor. And I'm sure somehow we'll get screwed out of that. Either the Lakers or the Knicks will get him.
That's completely changed at this point. I don't think Sixers are going for Okafor at all. I don't think Okafor fits anymore. The simple fact of the matter is, right now, our 3, 4, and 5 are set with Zaris, who's a 6'10" small forward. He's a shooter. He can play that small forward spot. You have Nerlens Noel as your power forward, and then you have Embiid as your center. You have basically almost the Triple Towers, which is a great name moving forward, by the way. Copyright right here. but the simple fact of the matter is you need a one and a two. Well, guess what? We just traded our number, our one. We traded our point guard because Sam Hinkie felt that Michael Carter Williams was not going to be a part of his plan for the future. He wasn't a very good shooter. His assist-to-turnover ratio was very, very bad. And his efficiency rating was terrible. And granted, he didn't have a lot to work with, but still, he's a very talented kid, but I don't think he's going to be a superstar. Now,
I think he saw that right now he still had some value and could make a deal and get something for him. And rather than see him stay and lose all his value,
exactly.
I agree.
Well, the thing is, I think Hinkie saw that it's probably going to be Okafor. Then there's two guards. I don't even know how to pronounce the one of them. Manu Mamute. Russell from, I forget what college he's from. But those are going to be your top three guys. So they're thinking, hey, those two point guards are much better than Michael Carter Williams. They can shoot, drive better. They're projected to be stars in this league.
And I agree with that.
If you grab one of them, you have three out of the four spots on your starting lineup as potential stars. Stars as on your roster. And all of them are in their early 20s. Perfect. Then what you do is you have a couple nice players. You have Roden. You have that, what's his name, Jeremy Grant. He's not a bad player. You have who's the other kid that's young and not bad? He got invited to the young skills competition or whatever. Whatever his name is.
Yeah, you know. If I'd been watching somewhere, maybe I'd be able to tell you.
I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but they got him. They got Henry Sims.
I honestly can't tell you the last time I sat down and watched the Sixers game.
Robert Covington. I knew it started with a
Sixers. Covington, you're right.
You have Sims. You have a couple of young kids on the team that could be all right. You have somebody on there like, what's his face? He just came back, and I'm really blanking to that. He hadn't played on the team in like 2 years since he's been hurt. Jason Richardson.
Okay.
So you have him, obviously.
Didn't realize
he's
back.
Veteran guy.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he just played his first game like the other day. But he's taking way too much money. You need to get rid of him, obviously. The simple fact also is that you have a young group, core group. What you need to do is you need to sign a couple of veterans here that can do specific things of some of the holes that these young kids can't do just yet. You're signing
some
veterans.
Scorers.
Well, obviously some shooters, maybe a three-point specialist, something like that. And, all of a sudden, 2 years from now, you have a squad that's, you have your set four. You have another pick in there somewhere for next year, not including this upcoming draft, but the following draft. And you're going to be more likely to attract free agents that way. So you can build around these rookies and some veterans and then load up. You're going to have so much money to play with.
In fact, I've heard a couple of the guys, some of the young guys who would eventually become free agents now. Granted, they've all covered their bases and said this probably isn't the spot for them. Probably because they want to keep saying the right things about them wanting to stay where they're at. And I can't remember who the guys were talking about. There's looks like you could see where a young player who would come into his first free agency would see this as an attractive destination.
Yeah, it should be. He would be the veteran on the veteran star on the team, even though he would be young. At this point, we would need to groom a shooting guard. Somebody like, you know,
sure.
I'm not saying James Harden and South, but somebody like James Harden, young shooting guard
right.
who can score well, somebody who's going to really put the pop and give this team a player that these young kids can build around. And, again, we're hoping that Beattie turns out to be Olajuwon. We're hoping, you know, whatever guard they end up getting turns out to be, you know, Magic Johnson. You know what I mean? Like, we're hoping
right,
these
no.
people turn into NBA stars, to all-stars. And, obviously, if say if, you know, say if two of them become, you know, players in this league, so all-stars in this league, You're set. Nerlens Noel doesn't need to be a star. If Embiid and Amute, you know, who hopefully we end up drafting, are all-stars. He just needs to be a very good player. And he can be,
yep.
and he's already shown that. He's got defense down like a mug. The man can steal, the man can block. You know, he's got to work on some of his shooting, and that'll come with time. But, you know, he'll be a nice starting player on this team with two stars. And then again, you go ahead, you have two stars, you have somebody like Noel, you have somebody like Sarich, who's, you know, who's going to be great. I mean, the kid's lighting up the whatever league he's in.
Yeah, Turkey, yeah.
Turkey league. Not that that's training much, but still. You know, obviously he's playing against professional players right now. But,
sure, and now, granted, I'd love to have him here learning the NBA right now, but
right.
I mean, he will get here, and, you know, if not next year, the year after, probably the year after.
Yeah.
And, you know, would you really want him here, like, adding to wins when you're trying to tank to get better picks? Let him go
right.
there, let him,
yeah.
hey, maybe win a turkey title. I don't know what the hell they call it, but, you know, let
pretty
him
sure
win championship
turkey,
there,
pretty sure they
and
call
then
it
he can
a
come
turkey
here
title.
And teach us how to win.
Yeah, let's go win that turkey title.
Go win the gobbler, googly gobbler
yeah,
award or whatever they call it there in Turkey.
Yeah. So, wow.
Yeah.
So you're going to have the four core of players, and, you know, hopefully two of them are the stars, two of them are very good players, and bam, you know.
Yeah, you've got a great NBA team.
You know, you have a free agent that's looking for a max contract. We have the money to do it. Hey,
exactly.
Be our number one. Play with two other all-stars and play with a whole bunch of young players that can play in this league that aren't, you know, stupid, that aren't, you know, still learning. Obviously, they're still learning the game. But they still understand what their roles are and what they have to do. Come in and bring
and then
it all together.
You're not
let's creating go win some
just
championships.
And a perennial playoff team. You're creating a perennial championship
power
contender
out.
Team.
Now,
yeah.
Power out.
Which
so.
Is what we want. We don't want to just be, you know, a 6 seed, a 7 seed, and be in NBA purgatory.
No,
we
want to
be a 1 seed.
Four or
we
want to
be a 2 seed.
I
want
to be a 1, a 2 seed. Yeah. That's what I want. I want us to be. I mean, look what Cleveland just did. And right,
yeah.
They obviously got two all-stars, you know, but they had a young team. You know,
they
obviously had a lot of young draft
picks. The best player in basketball. But
yeah, granted, but they went ahead and they signed a star.
Which we got about a minute left before we get cut off, by the way.
So they signed a star and then went ahead and traded some of the young talent to get another star. And instantly, Cleveland Cavaliers, best team in the East. Team to beat. Obviously, they have to work together, and that's what happened in Miami when all three of those guys came together.
Sure, they have the
they
same
need a little time to work together.
Yeah.
So they're figuring it out. But
yeah, I think
matter,
Cleveland will be just fine.
Yeah, Cleveland will be just fine. That's what I want for
and
us.
And by the time they get done their run,
player.
We'll be ready for our run.
Yeah, I want us to be one player away to being a complete and utter powerhouse and say, hey, who wants to be that guy? Who wants to be the guy to win us championships? Come
and, you know, if you're a free agent out there, what free agent isn't going to be like, wait a minute, I could go be the number one guy on the team that's going to win a title? Yeah,
yeah.
I want that.